Welcome back, everyone, to the E-Commerce Marketing Podcast. I am your host, Arlen Robinson, and today we've got a very special guest, Jason Berkowitz, who is the CEO of Break the Web, the inbound marketing agency based out of New York City with a specialty in search engine optimization under the label SEO Services New York. Jason is personally advised on marketing campaigns ranging from small local businesses to enterprise brands we all know. Jason and his agencies carry a unique philosophy when it comes to strategy development, but the end result is always awareness and positioning. Welcome to the podcast, Jason.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Arlen. It's a pleasure.
No problem. Yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you about, you know, the topic of today. Of course, we're going to be talking about content marketing, specifically content gap analysis and topic creation for content marketing. But, you know, before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got into what you're doing today?
Absolutely. So I am a self-proclaimed SEO nerd. And the fact that even at late nights, my girlfriend hates it. I'm just sitting there reading about SEO news, what people are saying, all the controversy and the stigmas behind it.
Right.
I'm an SEO weirdo. So the way I got into it was actually from the need to market my own business. I had a personal training company here in New York City. And obviously, as you can imagine, personal trainers also need to be salesmen of sorts. And the hustle was really hard, trying to get new clientele, try to raise my own income. I looked into ways to just market online and try to get people to come to me via inbound versus me going out to them, which is, of course, outbound. And read about SEO, started learning, networking, speaking with people, trying it out for myself, failing, trying again, failing, collecting data on what really works for me that also provide longevity and tangible results for the long run. And then from there, it actually turned out to be a weird paradigm shift where I loved SEO more than I did personal training.
And okay.
Started freelancing, doing both until my freelance business, you know, did well enough where I was able to actually sell the PT company to a friend of mine and then started doing SEO full time. And then as more clients came in, freelance became agency.
Okay, great. That's awesome. Yeah, I love to hear stories like that. I've talked to a number of different guests and have a number of different guests on the podcast that told me, you know, a similar story where how they got into, you know, e-commerce and e-commerce marketing and just kind of the world of you know, online things like SEO is because of necessity. And like you said, you started off as a personal trainer and you're like, all right, you know, how can I get people to come to me? How can I get people to find me? So you started digging in and did research on SEO and what you would need to do to improve that business. And so, yeah, a lot of people tell me that, you know, their current career or what they're currently doing is based on, you know, just a need that they had. Yeah, that is awesome. But that's quite a shift, personal training to SEO. So,
I didn't say when I get older, I want to be an SEO guy. It was interesting.
But yeah,
I was always a tech guy, you know, even as a young age. I built a website at 12 years old, which was like an old school forum.
Okay.
I don't think people really use forums anymore, but it was like a men's forum at 12 or 13 years old and did pretty decent. And it was kind of like destiny in a way.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. These days, the moniker SEO nerd isn't actually a bad thing, you know,
now it's the cool thing to be tech savvy.
It is. Yeah. If you know how to bring traffic to a website, then yeah, you're the big man around town for sure.
In middle school, you're a computer geek.
Yeah.
Now you're like you said, the big man.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. Well, you know, today, one of the things we're going to be talking about, which is an area that I don't think I really have covered much on the podcast, at least while I've been hosting. And so I was excited to have you on. And it's specific content gap analysis and topic creation for content marketing. So why don't you tell us a little bit about exactly what that is? So, you know, those that aren't familiar with that.
Absolutely. So content gap analysis is pretty much finding the gaps that you have in your current content, things that could use improvement on to ultimately, essentially, of course, with SEO, to improve the rankings and, of course, the clicks and then ultimately conversions once people actually get there. And conversion could be just moving to the next stage of the funnel. Mm-hmm. So just locating your content, doing a nice big scrape. You could use third-party tools. You can do it manually if your blog isn't that big or your resource pages aren't that big, and just tidy things up a little bit. See where the gaps lie and see what areas can use improvement. See if you need some trimming. Is this page just a basic page that I just created for the purpose of adding more pages to my Google index count? Or is it a page that genuinely provides value? Mm-hmm. Is it a page that has potential to provide value? Then you can go in and optimize it, modify it, And then, yeah, that's the primary concepts of content gap analysis. Again, this is something that's over the last year, my agency has been focusing a bit more on. So we're always still trying to learn and improve the systems, but that's how we define content gap analysis.
Okay, great, great. And how exactly does that tie into, once you've kind of gone through that and the analysis and kind of filled the gaps, how does that really tie into content marketing efforts?
Of course, if you're going to be doing marketing in general, whether it's any outbound marketing, whether it's Facebook ads or just a regular outreach campaign just to market the content, get more links to it, or just get more visibility within all the different advertising platforms, making sure that the information is most up to date, obviously, is key, as well as just being better than your competitors. You know, there's a lot of free information out there on the web, and there's many different places to get this type of information. You know, if you have a medical symptom, there's a million places you can go to learn if your symptoms are from a disease.
Right.
Aiming to have the best type of quality content will definitely help carry people through your funnel. You know, there's obviously many different ways people can get to your content, but also having the best content will help improve your funnel. You know, if somebody come into the top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, bottom of the funnel, moving them to the next stage will be a lot easier once you instill that trust.
Right. That makes total sense. What's the difference between content gap analysis and content auditing? Or is it the same thing? Because I hear a lot about content auditing and kind of going through and doing an assessment of your content to determine, you know, do you need to delete stuff? Do you need to improve it? Do you need to consolidate things? Is it the same thing?
They could be. You know, again, these are technical terms that anyone could just throw around. I think that they definitely have a lot of similarities. Content gap analysis and content audit, as you mentioned, just auditing your content. But also you can do a further audit, and you know, this can be classified as a keyword gap analysis, see what other opportunities your content has to rank for on Google from an SEO standpoint.
Right.
So if your content, you know, talks about one topic that's thematically relevant to another topic, can that be worked in?
Right.
So.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I figured as much that it was, you know, really similar. It just depends on, you know, kind of how you use the terminology and
marketers.
Exactly. Marketers can switch things a number of different ways, but it really is really doing the same thing for sure. Now, a lot of the listeners to this podcast are young entrepreneurs, young e-commerce businesses that are either getting started, maybe into it, maybe only for a couple of years or so, and are looking for ways in which to, you know, improve their marketing. But I know a lot of businesses may not have, you know, like a dedicated SEO person on board, of course. They may just be, you know, maybe they got a web developer, he may know some basic SEO, point them in the right direction, and, you know, then that's it. So for these types of businesses that really can't afford, you know, full-time or to consult with an SEO person, what are some things that they can do as far as improving their content and, you know, kind of do this on their own? And what are some affordable options?
Yeah. So even at its most simplest level, first, again, SEO can be broken down into on-page SEO and then off-page SEO. On-page, everything taking place on the website itself. Mm-hmm. First thing is just making sure that you have a piece of content that answers a question that people are searching for. Okay. If that's met and you do your damn best job to answer that question, provide insane amounts of value, make it the easiest post, whatever, then you're good with on-page SEO, and then you have to market that content. And again, at its simplest form, you can A, reverse engineer your competitors, C, if they have content pieces that are trying to match the same search terms that you are, and see what links or see what other publications might be linking or referencing their post. Mm-hmm. And then reaching out and saying, hey, you know, again, this is all in its simplest form, reaching out and say, hey, I know you linked out to this resource. Here's another resource that I think might be valuable to your readers.
Right.
Feel free to add it to your post. You know, again, there's so many different creative ways you can take with that.
Right.
And again, even not reaching out to the competitors, or reaching out to relevant publications that's, you know, in its simplest form, just saying, hey, here's a great piece of content that I think your readers will enjoy on this post of yours, you know.
Right. Yeah, those are definitely things that you can do. And specifically, like you said, for, you know, link building, like reaching out to these other sites.
Exactly.
You can kind of do this on your own. And another thing that can be done, because I know business owners that may be hearing this are wondering, okay, you know, is this a timely process? Am I going to just have to do this one by one and do the follow-up? The great thing these days is that there are a number of tools that can assist you with cold outreach. And we actually use a tool internally here that's been great. We've used a number of different tools.
Oh, yeah.
But we kind of shuffle them around, but we've got one right now that we've been sticking with for a little while. It's called Limlist. And it basically, you familiar with that? Yeah. So, it helps you with cold outreach. And so what Limlist will allow a business owner to do is when you're going out there, approaching these businesses, saying, okay, I got this great piece of content you want to link to, instead of manually just, going to your Gmail or whatever and sending it out one by one, what Limlist will allow you to do is create an outreach campaign where you put the message there. You can even put some personalization tags in it. So if you want to reference their company or their name or whatever else, you can do that. But you can set a whole sequence of follow-up. So it'll basically run itself once you put the sequence emails in there and set a schedule, like you want to send it out, let's say, every 4 days. If they don't respond, it's basically automatic follow-ups. And then all you need to do is just feed it with the emails. Once you do your prospecting, all you do is feed it with emails and it just runs. So, there's a number of tools out there like that that can kind of ease the pain, so you're not manually, individually emailing people one by one.
And Limlist is cool also because you can insert those personalization tags within images also.
Right.
We use actually Limlist for our outbound marketing to get new clientele.
Okay.
And we do some funky images with their names and the company names and stuff. Limlist is awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, we've been excited about it ever since we found it. Yeah, it's really helped us out with our outreach efforts. Now, businesses that, listen to marketers and hear podcasts and everything, a lot of marketers are going to say with regards to SEO, you've got to keep your content fresh. We talked a lot about updating the content and, things that you need to do on page and things like that. But is there a specific schedule that an e-commerce company needs to follow with regards to updating content, or is a specific frequency as far as adding new content?
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's a specific schedule. The biggest indicator we look at is Google search results. Now, if that search term has Google search results that have the date of the last time it was modified being recent, then that'll be what some of the publications call QDF, where the query deserves freshness.
Okay.
So if it's something like a hot topic like politics, just for example, on a broader term, that's something that's usually a queries that deserve freshness, and Google is looking for newer, updated content as much as possible to fill up the page one results. If you have a search term for a content piece that you notice has maybe 7 out of 10 listings have a date, it might be a query deserves freshness, so to speak, and keep updating. If you check back again in a couple of weeks and there starts showing some more newer relevant results, update again and make sure that the date last modified or the date last updated is clearly visible on that page just so the bots can detect it.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. So it's not necessarily, like you said, a set schedule, but it really is going to be based on the query, the niche that you're in, or what people are searching for. And it's just going to depend on how frequently you may need to update it. So that's definitely good to know.
Yeah, some content pieces might not necessarily need updating. If it's, an answer to a simple question and you're absolutely killing it with marketing and you've literally done the best thing you can and it's positioned very highly, and maybe some other people will come in a little bit, maybe some small optimizations, but it really depends on if newer information is valuable to the user.
Right, for sure. There's one thing that I hear a lot about, I don't have a whole lot of experience with, but you can probably shed some light on, is I know there's a number of different services that are out there that will say that they basically will kind of handle your content marketing, or they're affiliated with like a content network. I guess that's the word I'm looking for, a content network, where they'll put your content out there on a variety of blogs or a network of blogs. What is your take on that? Is that something that's worthwhile, or do you need to be careful with approaching those types of companies?
It's decent. You just have to be careful. That's the biggest thing, because we're all aware of the stigma with SEO. SEO is dead. SEO will penalize your website, yada, yada, yada. The thing is that SEO is very, very effective. Mm-hmm. You just have to make sure that it appears natural and it looks clean and everything is realistic. That's right. The biggest thing is that if they're syndicating your, well, I don't know if syndicating your content is probably the best term. Right. Don't syndicate your content. That's kind of a little bit, that's really old school.
Right, right.
But if they're going to market your content for you and get you links within content pieces on other third-party thematically relevant publications, mm-hmm. then yeah, 100%. Just make sure that the company has a proven track record for getting some really good publications. They have case studies. They can prove what they're trying to achieve is good for the long term.
Right, right. That is so true. And I think one thing that business needs to be careful is you've got to be careful with, because of course Google is looking at everything as far as the links that you're getting and, you know, mm-hmm. the keywords and the things that are all pointing back to your site. So you got to be careful, because if, let's say, you start off where you only have, I'm just using this as an example, you've got 10 links coming back to your site, but then overnight, you know, all of a sudden you've got, you know, thousands of links coming back to your site, that's going to send Google a signal that says, okay, something's got to be funny about this. I mean, there are cases where, you know, we've all heard of the, you know, kind of the overnight successes and the viral types of things, viral videos that can kind of drive traffic overnight to a particular site or to a particular piece. So it is possible, but mm-hmm. it's not that common. So you have to be careful, because Google will see something like that and say, you know, wait a minute, you know, is this legitimate? And, you know, you run the risk of getting flagged, and that's the last thing that you want to have happen.
Agreed, 100%.
Yeah, so it's definitely a fine line that you have to walk for sure. Now, of course, there's sites like we just mentioned that can help you out with the content marketing and get you out there on different blogs and things that are relevant to what you're doing. But what are some other tools or other resources that can help with content marketing?
Again, I think one of the tools, there's definitely a lot out there, but one of the things that you mentioned was a mailing tool. Kind of like what you mentioned, Lemlist. There's mm-hmm. a bunch of other ones. Some of the big ones in the industry are Lemlist, Mailshake, Pitchbox, mm-hmm. BuzzStream. There's a whole plethora of different tools that can help with the entire outreach campaigns, right. but also just the initial market research. You know, we're a huge fan, at least in my agency, of Ahrefs.com.
Right.
And their suite of tools is just absolutely amazing, from mm-hmm. just content exploration to keyword research. Mm-hmm. So we're a fan of them, and we use them as well as Semrush, SEMRUSH.com,
okay.
to find some really good topic ideas as well, and also estimate traffic potential.
Gotcha.
But they're both essentially the same thing. We're just spending money on two of the same tools.
Right, I hear you. Yeah, we use both internally here as well, Ahrefs, Semrush. And, you know, we've kind of used a variety of them. One thing that I will say, because when I first, this was a while ago, several years ago, probably when Ahrefs first kind of kicked things off. When you get in there, especially if you're kind of, I guess you could say, a quote unquote newbie, and you're not that familiar with SEO, and you're just really trying to do some basic analysis, it can be a little overwhelming, because there's a lot there. There's a lot of features, a lot of different functions, a lot of data that you can pull. So it can be a little overwhelming. One thing that I would recommend with Ahrefs, if the people out there are going to try it out, maybe take the trial and see if it makes sense, is they put out some pretty good YouTube videos. Tim, I think is his name.
Tim. Yeah, Tim and Sam.
Yeah, Tim is one of the founders. He puts out some pretty good YouTube videos there that break down some of the features of Ahrefs, which are really good. So I would definitely recommend that if you get in there and you're kind of overwhelmed, take a look at that. So yeah, that's one thing that I would say. And one of the things also with these tools, you don't have to use all of the features. You know, you want to maybe just focus on pulling a certain set of data and doing that consistently. And, you know, you don't have to just kind of go through that whole suite, because nobody does that. I mean, most of these tools, businesses are only just using, you know, kind of a handful of their functions, so that you don't have to feel like you've got to go through the whole thing to get your money's worth. So that's not necessary.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. The Ahrefs blog and the content that they produce is not only just how to use their tools, but also some really good SEO value in there. It's one of our top favorite blogs that is something nice and interesting comes out. We share it around our Slack channels in our agency.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, they're definitely ones to follow for sure with regards to SEO. So, you know, with everything that we talked about, the content marketing, you know, these tools and what you need to do to manage and optimize your site, what do you really think is the main takeaway with regards to content marketing for a company that's, you know, that's really just looking to get started for the first time?
I would say probably manage your expectations.
Okay.
Be realistic of what's going to happen. So there's a lot of people, and we know this because we speak with a lot of future clients of ours, and they say, yeah, yeah, somebody told us we have to just keep updating content, 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 content. And that's only 50% of the equation when it comes to an SEO campaign. You know, the content will help with on-page SEO, but you know, unless you're going for a really, really non-competitive search term, for example, it's very unlikely that you'll just rank off the bat. Or unless your website is just a huge powerhouse authority in your market. So be realistic of what's going to happen. Yes, you're going to spend that time. You might invest time and money into a content piece, but what's going to happen from it if I just do the content piece? Will I take the time as well to market it, try to acquire backlinks, make it look as natural as possible, share it with Facebook groups, share it on social media, share it on Reddit? You know, there's so many different opportunities out there. So be realistic of what's going to happen and don't expect that just creating content will magically improve the overall performance of your website.
Right. Definitely. I think a lot of people have that assumption that, you know, you just got to add all of this content. You know, I got to do 10 blog posts in a week and, you know, do that consistently, but
damn marketers.
Yeah. They're good and bad, you know, they put a lot of information out there, but unless you kind of have some guidance, you could get kind of lost and really not know what to do. So yeah, that makes total sense.
I will make a point that it is possible to create content also that might not necessarily have search intent behind it. Mm-hmm. Content can also be used to take people down a funnel.
Right.
You know, let's say somebody comes in through your website through maybe inbound organic search, and then you have the next piece in your funnel, which will help them move to the bottom of the funnel. That piece can be created. It doesn't necessarily need to have all this inbound marketing intent, but if it's part of your internal e-com funnel, that's golden as well.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, the caveat.
Yeah, for sure. And then also to add to that, you know, content and coming up with specific content for a particular demographic is also necessary with regards to social media marketing. If you're doing Facebook ads, you're doing ads on Twitter and all of that, it's very important to come up with specific content that's going to attract the right demographic. And one of the things that I always tell people when they're concerned about coming up with the right messaging for these types of ads or content in general is a lot of times you don't necessarily have to reinvent the wheel, because you can just take a look at what some of your competitors are doing or other people in your space. And I'm not saying in any way use the same messaging, but you can at least see where they're going and kind of what types of topics that they're talking about, what are they saying and what messaging are they using to drive people into their site. So you can definitely do that. One cool thing with Facebook, and I guess they started this probably earlier this year with their Facebook ads, they now make it available. If you see a company's ads, you can go into their page, and then there's an ads and info section where you can see an entire history of all their ads, which is awesome.
Good and bad.
It's good and bad. It kind of opens you up to having your competitors get a quick glance at everything you're doing, but you know, at the same time, it definitely helps
market research.
Yeah, for sure, it definitely helps out. So that's just one other thing I wanted to just add to that. Well, great, Jason. Well, we definitely appreciate you having you on. Like I said, I hadn't really talked too much about content marketing on the podcast before, so I think this episode is going to be timely for our listeners, and I know they're going to get a lot out of it. But I always like to close things down now with a final question. And what's one thing that our audience would be surprised to know about you?
I'm going skydiving tomorrow.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. That's awesome. Where exit?
It's a bit northern, upstate New York. I skydive a lot, actually.
Oh, okay.
So it's not just tomorrow. I've acquired the odd hobby of jumping out of planes for fun like a madman. Okay. So, I guess. And people see me. I was actually on the subway earlier this morning, and I was reading the Parachutist magazine.
Okay.
And I saw this lady looking at me like, there's a picture of a guy falling from the sky, and I'm sitting there in jeans and a nice shirt and just reading those things. So, yeah, I'm a skydiver.
Okay, well, that's awesome. That's one thing I don't know if I could do. I've seen people have kind of joked around, friends that I know, like, oh, we should just go skydiving. I don't know. You know, maybe I'll do it. I don't have a fear of flights or of heights or being in planes. I'm a big aviation enthusiast, so I love flying and all that. But I don't know. Just something about jumping out of a plane. it's going to take a little bit for me to get to that point. But
if there's one key takeaway you've got from this podcast interview, it's that skydiving is the greatest thing ever.
Oh, really?
Okay. That's the only thing that matters.
Wow. So it's just an incredible rush, the whole experience.
Yeah, that was a joke, but yeah, it definitely is absolutely incredible, and I highly recommend everyone do it at least once.
Gotcha. Well, maybe I will do it. Well, yeah, I definitely appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, if any of our listeners, you know, want to get in touch with you and kind of pick your brain anymore, how would they do it?
Yeah, you can just simply Google Jason Berkowitz. We're at breaktheweb.agency. And you can find me on LinkedIn at Jason Berkowitz.
Okay, that sounds awesome. Well, thanks again, Jason, for joining us here on the e-commerce marketing podcast. You have a great day.
I appreciate it, Arlen. Thank you so much. You too.